to be going back to Ephesians, but first I want to read chapter 13. Get your place there in Ephesians. We start in chapter 2. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13. I have begun to notice, you know, numbers in the Bible are interesting. And I have noticed some things about numbers through the Bible. And the preacher brought that one thing up about number 13 that's usually not very good. And it's not so good here either. It's a warning. And as he was speaking about the United States of America, As I was doing my reading this week, I couldn't help but think about the United States with all its blessings that they've enjoyed, where we're going. And I thought I'd read this. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. And so I went, and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. I thought it was interesting. Also, he looked there, he said, hide it in a hole of the rock. He didn't say in the hole of a rock. That's interesting to me, the whole of the rock. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. And when I went to Euphrates and digged and looked the girdle from the place which I had hid it, behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. I never forget after that they flew those airplanes into the Trade Center towers and things that followed afterwards. How it just got everywhere as you look. It says, you know, you saw American pride, and God bless America and American pride. And how in the world can God bless us if we're full of pride? And I'm sitting there thinking, why are we not heeding the warnings of God? This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as a girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, for a name, for a praise, for a glory, but they would not hear. There you find him saying that his people would not hear. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, because I will fill the inhabitants of the land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give the glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And when thine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Saying to the king, to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down. for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. In the cities of the south shall be shut up, none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift your eyes, behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What will thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains and as chief over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee the woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as a stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures for me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries, thy neighings, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills, in the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem. Will thou not be made clean? Good question. Wilt thou not be made clean? What if America is willing to be made clean? When shall it once be? Ephesians chapter 2. We need a broken and contrite spirit in this country, in our churches, in our own lives. We're not to be proud thinking, you know, that we're something. You look at old Daniel. Daniel was a great man after God. He loved the Lord. Did that was right. But when Daniel prayed, he said, our sin. When all these great prophets who lived for God and obeyed God with their whole heart, they said, our sin. And we need a church that would be willing to bear the sins and the reproach of our nation and say our sins and repent for our nation. They can't. Our country can't repent. It's not in them. It's waiting on the church to do something. They can't help themselves. They're helpless. And we're going to see that right quick in this chapter right here. Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened, notice next, who were dead in trespasses and sins. What can a dead man do? Besides rot. What can a dead man do besides lay there and rot away? Just get nastier and nastier. He said, and you he hath quickened. He put life in us that believe. But we were dead in trespasses and sins. We could do nothing to help ourselves. We were all dead men. And wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Look at here, it says, you he hath quickened. That's something that he did in the past, but we're enjoying it in the present. He did it on the cross of Calvary. He made us alive on the cross of Calvary when he died, took away the sins of the world. And the Bible said he's known us from the foundation of the world. We saw that in the last chapter. He knew us, and he reached out to us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now he's made us alive. You can look in verse 1, he says, We were dead. Why? Because of the wages of sin. And you notice here in verses 2, he said, now we walked. We're in time past, ye walked. We talk about needing to have a walk with Jesus, and we do. We need to have a walk in Christ. We need to walk in the Lord. And notice here, he said, in times past, ye walked. Now, this is the believers. You walked according to the course of this world. And we know where this world is headed. It's walking in a course for annihilation and destruction. I tell you, every person out here don't know Christ, they're running headlong off into the lake of fire. We know the course of this world walks. We walked according to the course of this world. Notice this, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, we were saved according to God's mercy. Now, we walk in Him according to His foreknowledge, hey, according to the fact that we were in Christ from the foundation of the world. Now, we walk in Christ according to God's foreknowledge, according to His plan. They got together. It's been according to the will of God that we are in Christ. But now, he said, they're walking according, and we one time walked that way, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Once he worked in us. Now, I got some things I wrote down here about what he works. He says, the course of this world, the course according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan's walk, which we once walked. We walked with him. And he and Satan's walk once worked in us. It once worked on us. And it once worked in us. And God, and he's giving this thing out here, you know, and we just read over in Jeremiah. They were walking according to the direction of this world. They were following after the world. They said, give us a king like all the other nations. Give us this. Make us like the other nations. God said, you're meant to be a peculiar people, set apart, different from everybody else. And I was your king. And God has set us apart to be different. Not to walk after this world and the course of this world. We're to walk after Christ and Him only. I'm sorry about that. Cut this thing off right now. They were going to church, they didn't know where I was at right now. Look. And we find that this, you know, we one time walked after the direction and the course of this world, and we walked after the flesh. Now, it says, according whom also ye also had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So, you know, God's wanting us not to forget here. Paul's reminding the Ephesians what they were before they were in Christ. And I think he's letting them know this, you know, that before you could do nothing. You were all but dead men. You were all, you know, without strength, without power. You had to be obedient to the devil. You had no choice. He was our God, and He commanded us and told us and led us and guided us and directed us to fulfill His purposes in this world, which is the destruction of all mankind. And that's the reason why you look and you say, I can't believe what these people are doing in our country. Why can't we believe it? Why are we looking at the White House? I can't believe what they're doing up there. That's how stupid and crazy they are. They've always been stupid and crazy. leader of this world's always been insane. Ain't nothing changed. It's always been that way. You look at King George, we ducked out. Look what they were doing. Look at all the leaders of England. I mean, why do you think they had all those wars, between the Catholics and the Protestants? Because you had a bunch of crazy people running the government. Back and forth, up and down, in and out. Why? Because of the God of this world. And for us to somehow think that it's going to change or get better, how foolish are we to think that? Years ago, I remember hearing J. Vernon McGee through the Bible, and he said these words. He said, look, folks, we're not here to clean up the fishbowl. We're here just to do a little fishing. He said, we can't clean up this fishbowl. We need a new fishbowl. Huh? We need a new world. A new earth. A new heaven. You know, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's no righteousness to be found here other than the righteousness which has come down from God. This world has been totally corrupted, and it's not going to get better. It's going to wax worse and worse. So, get your mind off what's going on in this world, what's going on in the politics, what's going on in the, if you study that, you're going to go crazy. You study after that, watch what's going on in this world, concerned about what they're going to do next, you will be totally a lunatic for long. You set your mind on the things of Christ and what God has left us here to do, and you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. That's the only way it's going to happen. If you study on trying to make this world a better place, you're out of your mind. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for voting and voting for your conscience, but hey, I'm going to tell you what. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord build this government after his own heart, unless they're willing to hear, you're spitting in the wind. It's not going to get no better. I'm not, I kind of planned that mind. Things ain't going to get better. I was involved in a lot of community effort at that time when I first heard that. J. Vernon McGee, working with different things, trying to change things in the world, trying to change, this thing of abortion. I don't know if it bothers you, but it bothers me down, I mean deep. It bothers me. I'll tell you what, it put me in a killing mood. It makes me want to go blow something up. It does. It makes me want to blow something up, burn something down. You say, well, that ain't no way to be. I bet you when God comes back, I bet he's going to burn it down. Bet he does a lot of blowing up. A lot of things going to disappear. Now, I know that ain't my place right now. I just got to trust God. And I got to realize that. See, if I concentrated on that, I'd be so mean, you couldn't stand me. I mean, I just thought about all the wickedness and the vileness of this world. How it ought not to be. I'd be in a rage all the time. I mean, you know something really drives me nuts. I don't know how you feel about this. Driving and drinking is against the law. You show me one bar don't have a parking lot. That's insane. We said, well, that's right to have a parking lot. Why? You go get people there and get them drunk. Why do you have a right to have a parking lot? I mean, y'all drink all y'all want to. You get somebody to drive them home.
get the cab services out there, and you take them home, and you get them all drunk up. Don't put them out here on the road, kill innocent people. I think, I mean, if it's up to me, every time somebody left a bar drunk and run in and did some damage and everything, I would track it down to where they come from, and I would give them, I would prosecute them. He said, that ain't right. Why isn't it? It's aiding and abetting. You saw them walk out the door pulling the keys out of their pocket. Some of you saw them get in their car and drive off. Did you call the police and say, hey man, we got a drunk driver just left our place. You need to stop and pull him over. No.
It ain't going to get better. And if I let my mind concentrate on these things, I would. I'd be mean. I'd be wanting to put a stop to some of this junk somehow or another. That ain't what God told me to do. God told me to love people and go out and spread the gospel. That's what I'm devoting myself to. Devote myself to. It shouldn't be just a now and then thing. It should be an everyday opportunity. Looking for every chance. I went to get some tires yesterday. I got a little chance to put a bug into people's ears. They was talking about, you know, how fast time's going, you know. And boy, it just seemed like yesterday we were saying, yes, it seemed just like yesterday. I got out of high school. So I said, you know what? I said, it'll soon be over. Don't worry, I said. That's what I told him. I said, don't worry, it'll soon be over. The black woman said, I said, that's right. People need to think about that. We're finite. We're here for a moment in time. Look for every opportunity you can to get people to think about the fact that this world is temporary and that their hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want my Jesus saved shirt, too. Oh, I'm just glad that God, you know, in His mercy, reached out to us. Because this is what we were, children of wrath, even as others. But God. Boy, ain't you glad of them two words? But God. But God who is rich in mercy. Means He ain't giving us what we deserve. That means I'm not laying in hell with my back broke, waiting to be tossed off into the lake of fire. That means God reached down in His mercy and delivered me from the pains of sin and death. I'm not worried about sins. If I bring them up to God, I know what He knows what I'm talking about. He saw them sins when He placed them upon His Son, and He took them off into the lake, into hell, and suffered the pains of sin and death for me one time and forever. God is rich in His mercy for His great love, wherein He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. I want us to concentrate, think about this. We're just looking at what we were according to the prince of the power of this air. What we once were and what those who have not been saved are because of the prince of the power of the air, because of the God of this world, because they're walking after the course of this world and after the power of the devil. But God who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, that He gave His only Son, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. See, we were dead in sins. We died in Christ. Have you read that before? We died in Christ. Do you believe that? I believe that. You see, I don't remember it, but
God said it. It's good enough for me. I don't remember it taking place except for in 1984 when I saw myself a sinner and I realized what Christ had done for me. That's the only place I remember that from. But Jesus Christ said that we died in Him. Devil can't bring it up to me. Well, you're a sinner. You, the wages of sin is death. You should die. I said, well, I did. I did. I paid for in Christ. I died in Christ. I died in Him. I went down into hell with Him. I was raised from the dead in Him. And now I'm alive. That's the reason why I'm quickened. Because He was quickened. I was made alive in Christ. I died in Christ. Now I'm made alive in Christ. He said, God, who is rich in mercy, with great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You know, like I said a moment ago, dead men can't do nothing. What do we have to offer God? I know, I offer Him my heart. Why would He want that nasty thing? Huh? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, oh, I want that. No, He came to give us a new heart. His heart.
He has made us alive. He's quickened us together. By grace you are saved. And raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You ever just think about that? I mean, people say, you ain't going to heaven. I tell you, you don't know that you're going to heaven. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm already there. I said, I get to enjoy it every now and then. God lets me see a little bit when I'm reading this Bible. And boy, that breeze from heaven comes blowing through my soul. Amen? I get to enjoy a little bit of heaven right here. Huh? My head is set down in heaven. His feet may be standing on this earth, but our head is in heaven. One of these days, the whole body's going to catch up with one another. Amen? We'll walk in a new heaven and a new earth. And have raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, just as we mentioned just a moment ago, how that one time we walked according to the course of this world, the course according to the prince of the power of the air, which worked in us, on us, and through us, and said, and among whom we all walked.
We were children of the devil, and we walked with Him. And He worked in us, He worked on us, and He worked through us to bring about our destruction and destruction of all those around us. I'll never forget the day I got saved, 1984. I remember the Lord speaking to my heart, and He said, you're raising your children to go to hell. I remember clear as a bell. I never forgot that. You're raising your children to go to hell. my attention. Fear of death and hell and everything, that never bothered me too much, but the thought of me being the cause of my family perishing for eternity, that got my attention that day. And I asked God for help. See, He was working through me to destroy my family, the people that I said that were my friends I cared about, but truly I did not. The only thing I cared about was satisfying the lust of the flesh and my mind. Only thing I cared about as far as my children was concerned is that they were mine. They don't mess with my children. They're my children. You'll mess my wife. She's my wife. God got my attention and said, no, they're not your children. I was kind of loaning them to you for a little bit. You're to be their father. And your wife, she's not your wife. You're to be her husband. And your wife, you're not to be her husband. She's to be our wife. That's got to be our attitude in Christ. It's others. If everybody would just get that in their mind, every church problem we had would disappear. What causes church problems when everybody's worried about what they think, how they feel, what's, you know, how's this affecting me, or whatever, you know? You don't see too many of them concerned about, well, you know, doctrine and stuff like that. It's always little petty stuff, you know? You hurt my feelings. As old Lester Roloff said, dead men don't have no feelings. That's your problem. That's your problem. The Bible says he that seeks to save his life shall what?
Lose it.
He that shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel shall find it. Because our life is hid in Christ. We're to find our life in Christ alone. If we can learn that one thing, it will change everything. In our lives, in our family's lives, in our church life, get a hold of that one thing.
As it says over in the book, take your Bible, turn over into the book of Philippians. These some of the most powerful words I find in the scripture. And look in verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He said, in other words, don't set your mind on this is mine, on my, me. Set your mind on the things of others. And then he says, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation. You know what God just said there, and that blows my mind. He said, let this mind be in you, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Did you hear what we just read? I don't think we hear that too good. God don't want us to feel like we're somehow lower than him. Brought us up to himself that we might be equal, not in power, not in position, but as individuals, as friends. I mean, if God would give his own son, he must take a good deal of it.
I know it almost
sounds like blasphemy in a way, doesn't it? To think that, that God would make a statement like that. That he would want us not to think that we're not equal with God. I know I'm not equal as far as his power or his abilities, but I know this, when God looks at me, he doesn't look at me as an inferior. He looks at me as I'm going to be his friend and walk with him. Given all of himself to me, and I give all ourselves to him. And we'll work and walk together. He'll finish the work he's got to do with us. And that's what you find in Christ. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to present us one of these days faultless. We'll stand before God faultless. The Bible says when we see him, how are we going to see him? When we see him, we shall see him as he is. Why? Why? How is it possible we're going to see him as he is? For we shall be like him. Same nature. Not the same position. Same nature. Not the same power. For without him we can do nothing. But now, we've been made heirs and joint heirs together with him. There's nothing that God wants us to do that we cannot do because it's Christ that works in us and through us. If Jesus said of himself, he said, of myself, I can do nothing. He said, it's the Spirit that worketh through me. But because his mind was the mind of God, there was nothing that God wanted done that he couldn't do. And it should be the same way in our lives. We need to have that understanding and attitude that there's nothing that God wants us to do that we cannot do as we are yielded, believing what he said. Ephesians, again back in verse 8. Actually, I'm not going to get done. I'm going to have to start back. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. We ain't got a clue right now. We can't see it. But one of these days in the ages to come, stretched out before us, we're going to see the glory of the riches that have been bestowed upon us in Christ. We'll understand what it is that God has actually done in us. What God has actually given us. Right now, like I said, we get all caught up in the things that always bother us, like abortion and stupid politics and all the mess that's going on in this world. You know, boy, whoever of America, no, scouts of whoever of America and all this kind of mess, and it just boils us and gets us all bamboozled. And God said, boy, just concentrate on talking of riches I've got for you. Just think about what it is I've already done for you and what I promised you I'm going to do. Just think a little bit about what it is to be in Christ. Remember what he said he wanted to do in us. What he's done. He is on us. He's in us and he's working through us to do, and he will accomplish everything he wants to. But will he be able to do it through us as individuals? Will we be surrendered enough for him to be able to do it, what he wants to do, and then me, and then?
you'll find a donkey or a rooster to accomplish. He'll get it done.
Point is, will we let him do it through us? By grace are you saved? Nothing, we've done nothing to merit salvation. It's through faith. And notice this, in that not of yourselves. It wasn't your faith that saved you. It was the faith of the Son of God.
He gave you a measure of faith to believe that the faith that Jesus Christ had in what he done on the cross for us was enough. Now we can either accept that or reject it. We can either want it or we say, I don't need it. I'm not interested. God will give us enough faith to know what Christ has did for us. We can accept that or we can reject it. But believe me, your faith can't save nothing. You can't save yourselves by your faith. It took the faith of the Son of God. He knew that when he went to the cross, he shed that blood. When he offered it there in the mercy seat, it was enough to deliver every man, boy, woman, and child that's ever been born. And he wasn't willing that any of them should perish. Then he gave us just enough faith to make the choice. Accept it or reject it. And it took him working on us to be able to make that decision. For it is God that worketh in you, both the will and the do. It is a good pleasure.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ernie, would you pray for us this morning?